World. I'm John Batchelor, joining my friend and colleague Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, who's traveling. He is in Japan, a significant place in Japan for the conflict in Eurasia and for the threat of more conflict in Eurasia. That would be China's threats against Taiwan. Gordon, your location, you tell me that it's extremely historical. This was the place where the United States of America introduced itself to Japan. Where are you, Gordon?
John, I'm in Yokosuka, which is south of Yokohama, which is south of Tokyo. This is where there's a joint Japan-U.S. naval base. And as I look out my hotel window, I can see what I believe is a Japanese helicopter assault ship. I can see two Japanese submarines, and I can see three U.S. Arleigh Burke destroyers. And John, by the way, in the first moments of the war, there would be nothing left of what I'm looking out at now.
Yes, this naval base serves the Japanese Self-Defense Force, Naval, and the U.S. Navy, the 7th Fleet. I believe this is where the fleet repairs and reorganizes itself. So you're looking, that's why you're looking at three, when we call them destroyers, this is a battleship, but it's called an Arleigh Burke, a destroyer. And you tell me that the Ronald Reagan, the USS Ronald Reagan, is the carrier strike force. Is it in port? Where is it, Gordon?
The Ronald Reagan right now, I believe, is in South Korea after completing several joint exercises in the region. This is where it is home ported. It is the only American carrier home ported outside the United States. And if we stay here long enough, we actually might see it sail in. But this is a critical naval base for the United States.
History. I believe it was the middle of the 19th century, 1852, 3, 4, somewhere in there, that the Perry expedition landed in Japan. And you tell me he landed where? Can we see where he landed, Gordon?
John, I have read, though I actually should read a little bit more, but I have read that Matthew Perry did land in Yokosuka, and that's what Yokosukans claim. And it's probably right, because this is the southernmost part of Tokyo Bay. So it would be logical for him, to, when he landed in Japan, to come here. From my window, I am able to see Tokyo, which is far in the distance, and I can see Yokohama. And this really is the heart of Japan's industrial base. There, by the way, and not far from here, is a city called Kawasaki. So you can imagine what goes on there. And as we look out, there are just factories and shipyards as far as the eye can see.
Japan's position in the present conflict, Gordon, there is a new war in Asia, in Eurasia, and there's also the constant threats and constant provocations by the People's Republic of China. What is Japan's position?
Japan was shocked by Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And last December, as we talked about with our friend Lance Gatling, the Japanese government announced a significant increase in the defense budget over the next 5 years. And that is, you can see that Japan really was just jolted out of complacency. Of course, Japan is threatened by China. And we have seen over the last several decades Japan shift the focus of its military activities from Hokkaido, its main island in the north, in other words, in opposition to Russia, to the southwest, Okinawa, and other places which are close to Taiwan and to China.
And so Japan has not wavered in any fashion about its preparation for conflict in East Asia. Is that your opinion?
That's right. And also the Japanese have had, they've had an ambivalent view of China, but they have always had, I think, the correct view of North Korea. And we would be in a much better shape with North Korea at this moment if American presidents had not been so arrogant and had listened more to their Japanese counterparts.
The two wars, Gordon, the war in Ukraine, the war in the Middle East right now. You tell me there are other conflicts that serve the purposes of the People's Republic of China and its ally Russia. Where are those, Gordon?
Those are North Africa. China and Russia have been fueling insurgencies across all of North Africa, and those insurgencies are starting to look like wars. This is a part of what I think the Chinese have called Mao's countryside strategy, that the way to prevail over enemies, superior enemies, is to take over the countryside and eventually starve the cities into submission. And North Africa is an important part of that countryside. And we Americans have basically abandoned North Africa to the Wagner Group, which is paid for by China as well as Russia, and Russian activities and Chinese activities in that part of the world have been malicious and malign.
What does Beijing want of Moscow, Gordon? Moscow has handled the war in Ukraine as badly as it can be. The conflict goes on, this third winter of war. Europe is without adequate energy resources. What does China want of Putin?
I think he wants Putin to destabilize the world. Mao Zedong believed that chaos was the tactic to win the world. And Xi Jinping, the current ruler of China, reveres Mao. And I believe that Xi is actually adopting this chaos theory. Putin causes chaos. There's now chaos in North Africa, chaos, of course, in Israel with a spreading war. This is exactly what Xi Jinping wants.
And right now, what does Putin want of Beijing? What can he get from Beijing? Kamran Lokhari, our colleague, speaks of leverage, that China has leverage or is going to attempt leverage on the United States. What can Putin leverage to get anything from China? We have about a minute.
China cannot afford to see Russia lose in Ukraine. And the way for the West and the United States to deal with China's malign strategy is to take down China's proxies. Those proxies right now include Hamas, Iran, Russia, and a few other actors in the region. So we take those down. China is hurt, and China very well may decide to slink back and not upset the world as it has been doing recently. It's very arrogant. It believes it can do what it wants. It doesn't respect the United States. Deterrence is breaking down. Only worst outcomes can, we'll only see worst outcomes.
30 seconds, Gordon. We're told that there's an enormous shipment from North Korea headed to Russia. Is that with China's permission or independent of China?
I think that that would not occur if China did not want it to occur. North Korea will do what China wants when China actually demands. And I think that this is something that Beijing believes is in its interest.
Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang in Japan. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.